The Fan on Demand. Look up. Look way up. He sits alone atop the standings. Bob McCown and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Lord. It's Wednesday, August 20th edition of Primetime Sports.
Jeff Blair
sitting in for Bob McCown. I've got Ken Reed.
Is Pearl Jam right now?
To my left, and
I already won.
6-0 to my right. I don't know if anybody's even watching this because the Jays game is on. I don't know if we're on TV anyway. McCown's
Sportsnet,
back.
You're on Sportsnet 360,
are
right
we?
Now.
Oh, okay. McCown, by the way, will be back
Week
after next.
Jeff Blair. I have a challenge for you, Ken Reed. I was going to leave.
Issue it. Right now, sit on the radio.
Jeremy's pocket. Jeff Blair, who was just up from doing Blue Jays Central. A tremendous job.
He's angry.
I'm about to leave.
I'm not angry.
Ken Reed is like, Sid, stay here and repeat what you just said. I'm like, I can't. But I'm here.
Yeah, you bet you can, because we all want jobs tomorrow.
I know. No, I mean the other thing.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah.
Because the other thing was funny. We
it was
just kind
can't
of funny.
I can't say it. So I say to Ken, because Jeff comes up and Jeff is just ornery.
Mm-hmm. No, I was in
like,
a good mood today.
Good
this
mood.
Is a good mood for Jeff.
Good mood. He punched me twice. So I'm sitting here. I go, listen.
Good mood. I didn't punch
I go,
anybody.
Ken Reed is going to be in here for the first hour. Friege is in from 5 to 7?
I believe so.
All right. So Kenny, I turn to Ken Reed. I go, Ken, I will give you $30 if at some point in the next 60 minutes you make Jeff laugh to the extent where the Jeff Blair cackle just comes pouring out of his face like it's Niagara Falls on the Canadian side, mm-hmm. the better side of the two. Because few people have seen the cackle. I am lucky enough to have seen it, and it just didn't seem like he was in the mood. So
at
if
what
you
point
can,
in my life have I laughed hard
you
enough to
cackle? You almost
laughed
at the start.
Yes, you've laughed. I've seen you. None of it's repeatable on air, but I've seen you laugh that hard. Most of it's been my fault. If you can do this mm-hmm. out of him, or you can get this out of him, mm-hmm. I'll give you $30, Reed.
Okay.
Next hour.
I think the first thing we should do is, I'm not trying to direct the show here, but since we are
that's
mostly
exactly,
on
that's exactly
Sportsnet
what
360
doing.
Today,
that's
I think
exactly
that the camera on Jeff should just zoom in as tight as possible to his face.
Oh, so you want to do this? See,
yeah, I think he might just cackle from that alone.
All right. Go ahead, Jen. It's your show.
And camera zooming.
Camera zooming in on Jeff Blair. Watch this. Here's what we're going to do it. Jeff, I'm going to do it right now, Kenny, and I'll still give you $30. Watch this.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jeff Blair. I'm your host, Primetime Sports. Jeff Blair.
Nope, nothing. Go ahead, Reader.
No, I think I'm going to have it happen naturally. I don't want to force it.
You're right. I tried to force it.
Yeah.
I tried to force it. All right. God bless the both of you. I got to go.
Thank you.
Good seeing you. Thanks for singing along with Eddie Vedder.
That was great. Well, that's who you guys were imitating.
Yeah, Pearl Jam. Because you can, like,
it's
Eddie
hard
Vedder,
to tell. It sounded so much like the real thing.
Watch this. Eddie
it
Vedder.
It wasn't Felipe Alou.
No, it was close.
That's not it.
Any Pearl Jam song, it's like any song by Bruce Springsteen. You can sing it without knowing the words. Just sing Glory Days for me, for example.
Glory days. Word to your mother.
Now sing Even Flow.
I can't see. He's not biting on this.
He's not biting on this. For you and
I. I got to go. I can't.
Try Yellow Ledbetter.
Yellow Ledbetter.
Whoa, there's a reference.
Pearl Jam song, Yellow Ledbetter.
I don't know that one.
Then you're not a Pearl Jam.
No, I didn't say I was.
6-0.
Get out of here, Sid.
Thanks, Sid.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sid.
We got a radio show to do.
Yeah, we should do it.
John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports will join us at 4:15. Don Brennan of the Ottawa Sun. He made me laugh one time.
Don Brennan made me laugh a lot of times. Yeah. Good Media League hockey player in Ottawa.
I'll tell you what, a fine individual to go out and drink until you puke with.
He's a good guy.
He's very good. Richard Deitch of Sports Illustrated will join us. Mark Cohan, the commissioner of the Canadian Football League. He announced today that he will not seek a renewal of his contract, which expires next spring. And I guess that's another job David Brayley can have, in addition to owning two teams.
Well,
he used to be the commissioner. Bud Shaw, the Cleveland Plain dealer, will join us. How did Cleveland, all of a sudden Cleveland's like the hottest sports city in the planet. Cleveland. It's got LeBron and everybody, mm-hmm. and now the Browns have just announced that, they announced yesterday, Brian Hoyer will be their starting quarterback. So the Johnny Manziel era is over.
Would you want to start if you're Johnny Manziel?
Oh, hell yeah.
Pittsburgh, and then they have Baltimore and New Orleans, I think. Not necessarily in that order, but those are their first
Johnny
three games.
Johnny Manziel doesn't care who he's
but
playing.
But you want to ease in, don't you?
He doesn't care who he's playing.
I think you're right, but I'm saying for the long-term benefit,
what are you
I'm
doing?
Getting my phone out of my pocket because it's bugging me.
Just got me a little concerned that you stuck your hands in your pocket. And it was
people keep things in their pocket.
There's a lot of agitating going on. Shai Davidi of Sportsnet will join us as well at 6:15. The Jays are currently, what are the Jays currently doing with Milwaukee?
They're losing 3-2.
Are they losing 3?
Last I saw.
Hard to imagine the Jays would be losing 3-2 to Milwaukee, but there you go.
A loss today. And
3-all. 3-all.
3-all. Wow.
They're 1-6 in this road trip. And then they've got 9 games at home against Tampa Bay, New York, and Boston.
Yeah.
That's why he said Boston.
Yeah, and the fact that if they lose today, they're 1 game above 500. It's like they're starting all over again because they had that little something. They clawed their way back to, I think, about 10 above, and then they just, man.
It's,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of been a tough year. Kind of been a tough year for the Blue Jays.
It's just where I don't think anyone has any answers right now.
No, honestly, it's, you know, people keep asking me, what are the real Blue Jays? This team that we're seeing now or the team we saw in May? And I mean, it's like anything else. You're never as good as mm-hmm. you are when you're winning 12 in a row. You're never as bad as you are when you're losing 12 in a row. But I honestly don't know what to make of this team yet. I still think that lineup should be good enough. Once Brett Laurie's back, it should be good enough. But you know, you watch games like last night and you just kind of shake your head.
It looked like no one was interested to me last night.
Maybe Morosi. No, I don't know.
Going through the motions.
That's not true.
No?
Oh, that's bad.
What about your
sports writer psychology?
What about the center fielder? Did they have the right guy in center field last night?
The center field is just not very bright. I think Jerry Howarth said on Baseball Central today, and I think Jerry Howarth was absolutely right, that Anthony Gosen and Ryan Goen should be in the lineup every day. Because if Colby Rasmus isn't hitting, he's not giving you anything else, and you might as well have somebody who can catch balls hit to center field. And Ryan Goins, at the very least, can play good defense at second base. And you know, Munenori Kawasaki. The problem is Munenori Kawasaki and Juan Francisco are fine bench players.
They're great 23, 24, 25 guys.
Exactly. You just don't want them out there every day, and that's what we've seen with obviously due to injuries with Juan Francisco.
Yeah, but you know what? Every team goes through injuries. Look at the Dodgers. Look at the Yankees. Good teams have depth and find ways to win.
There you go. Munenori Kawasaki just scored. Your Jays are leading 4-3. We're not allowed to do play-by-play, are we?
No, you didn't really. You just kind of updated people, though.
Okay.
Well, they are winning 4-3, though. I can update you on that.
Oh, that's okay. We got a lot to talk about today. It's weird. I didn't think there would be. I mean, yesterday between Friedman single-handedly blowing up Twitter, and he'll be in, by the way, at 5 o'clock. Between Friedman blowing up Twitter with the Lewicki story, and given who are you going to believe, Tim Lewicki or Elliot Friedman?
Elliot,
thank you. He hasn't done anything today that I so far that I know of that would result in Twitter going nuts. I'm going to turn that off right now.
Maybe
anyhow, Elliot will join us.
If Elliot came on and sang some Pearl Jam, maybe Twitter would go crazy.
No. Why is there, what is it about you and Sid? You guys get together for like 10 minutes, and you know what? It's like going into a daycare.
I think that it's largely due to the fact that we're both a couple of morons, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not the only morons.
We're two idiots. Yeah, but there's a lot of morons, but we're two morons who basically share the same sense of humor, and that always spells trouble. Well, Sid and I should not be in the same place together for more than 15 minutes at a time. There needs to be a buffer between us. It's good that you were between us today. We basically took the show off the rails for the first 2 minutes.
That's good, because I wasn't really into it.
You weren't into it, but we got you into it. We eased your way
into
it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Sid and I are idiots. So put two idiots together. We have a lot of fun. I tried to, you know, we had great bonding moments. The last ball game we went to, I spent 7 innings trying to teach him how to eat sunflower seeds. Sid can't eat sunflower seeds. He can eat anything on the planet, and he eats a lot of things, but he can't eat sunflower seeds. Just amazing, you know? These are the things that people like Sid and I talk about.
Must have been a fun 7 innings.
It was a blast.
I don't know, but this Kohan thing interests me.
It does?
Yeah, kind of.
Why?
I mean, I seem to have a pretty good pretty sweet gig with the CFL. Everything's going well. Unless maybe he just figures that, I was going to say everything's going well other than the fact that the stadium in Hamilton now apparently, hopefully, will be partially ready for Labor Day. Yeah. Brent's going to be watching the game from my front yard at the HAAA.
I think the question is, will that stadium be ready for the Pan Am Games? I think that's the next question we have to start asking.
Might be time.
Yeah. But Cohan.
It's $85 to park at my house, by the way.
Yeah, for Brent?
For Brent. Well, for anybody. If they do end up playing at the HAAA grounds and they're going to have a hard time, they're going to have to move the dog run out of the way to get it in there. But actually, there is no dog run anymore. So if they do play at the HAAA grounds, I will be selling parking for $95.
If you're Mr. Cohan, though, I mean, you got an extra team in Ottawa. You got a lot of TV money that came in. League's pretty healthy.
You've sort of set things up. You know, beyond the fact that the team in your biggest market is just a total...
That's the one thing hanging
total over. Total non-factor. And I mean, I know we're going to get ripped on Twitter because it's not a Rogers property, so you're ripping them. That's not true. They're just a total non-factor.
Yeah. What is the worst thing you become in sports? Irrelevant or complacency or whatever they say? And it's just... Like the Argos were playing the other night, and I really, honestly, didn't even know the day of, oh yeah, the Argos play tonight, which is too bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and both of us, I mean, I'm from Western Canada. I'm used to going out to CFL games. Yeah, so I have no hate on for the CFL. No. I'd rather watch a CFL game, frankly, than an NFL game any day.
I will say that, and I will agree with you, and I take a lot of heat for saying that in this city. I find the CFL game more exciting, and yeah, I did my time out west. I did time in Calgary and Edmonton, and going to games out there is a blast. Yep. It's an absolute blast. It's basically a must-do on your social calendar, but I don't think that's the case here in Toronto, unfortunately, for the Argos.
How are the Jays doing now? They're still winning. Milwaukee made a pitching change.
I don't know how they're doing. I've been concentrating on doing this radio show with you. Was that a cackle?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
That was not a cackle.
Really want that 30 bucks. I want that 30 bucks.
You're not getting the 30 bucks. Sid promised me 30 bucks if I mentioned him on Baseball Central.
Why?
Or on Blue Jays, Jays Connected. God, I can never.
Blue Jays Central.
Thank you.
Why 30 bucks? Who like? Well, he just 20.
He wanted me to mention.
Carry a $30 bill.
I know.
It's 4-3 Toronto now.
Okay.
It's impressive. Yeah, it's Blue Jay Central.
People are saying, why are you going to have Don Brennan on the Ottawa Sun? Well, Eugene Melnyk, the owner of the Ottawa Senators, was quoted yesterday saying, I think we have the potential to be in the playoffs and to be competitive throughout the whole year, which is great considering, you know, there's no Jason Spezza, there's no captain. There's a lot about the Senators I like, but I don't know if I'm the owner of the team, if I'd be running around right now really making any type of pronouncement at all other than telling people when tickets go on sale and when the opener is.
Well, maybe that's just it. You have to sell hope, right?
I suppose.
I don't think a lot of owners are going to say we're not going to make the playoffs, are they?
Well, you know, honestly, I thought a couple of... I wish you had one of the hockey guys in here. No disrespect to you, but I thought a couple of years ago the Senators were set up for a nice little run.
They were
that series against the Rangers. I'm looking at this team. I'm going, and these guys are kind of set up. Things could be okay here, and they've just like fallen off.
Are you talking about the pesky Sens that we saw a couple of years ago?
I like the pesky
Sens.
Yeah,
but the people forget the pesky Sens were mainly driven by a great goaltender, and a great goaltender can win you a lot of things, and I think... Last year, Ottawa's goaltending just kind of was normal, and it wasn't that outstanding goaltending they had the year before, so things kind of came back to earth for them. That's my take on it. Already.
Oh, something else just happened. Goodbye! Oh, look at that sucker!
That'd be Mr. Bautista, would it
not?
Oh,
my God. Jose Bautista just hit one into Kevin Barker land. There you go. And it's 7-3 for the Blue Jays, so all's right with the world.
There you go.
Now I'm a little happier.
You know what? Jose Bautista's due to do something, though, because to me what he said after the trade deadline went when he complained about the team not doing anything, that's going to be a big moment that we look back on in this season. When the season's over, was that complaining? Did he have the right to do it? We're going to debate that for a long time.
Yeah,
so he had to step up.
He, you know what, though? It'd be really better if he'd stepped up and hit a couple of home runs after saying it or instead of saying it.
Well,
you know,
he hit one right away in his first at bat after saying that.
Yes,
but
he
then,
did.
Then that team went into that vicious tailspin. And to me, well, we can debate this. I don't know if you want to debate it now or later, but to me that was just a huge statement, and I would rather have seen my leader say something a little different
Yeah. Well,
than what he said.
I was surprised. I can't really say I was disappointed. I was a little surprised. Jose is not afraid to say stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's certainly not afraid to say stuff on the record, and I will always give Jose Bautista credit for that.
Because absolutely,
there are a lot of players who are bold as hell off the record, but you know,
I'll applaud him for saying it. Absolutely turtle. I would like to see the energy fueled in a different manner.
Yeah, I'm with you in that. John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports joins us. How you doing, sir?
Very good, Jeff. How are you?
We're happy now. The Jays are winning.
JP, I got a bet. Sid Sixero's offered me $30 in the hour if I can make Jeff Blair cackle. Any advice?
If I can make Jeff Blair cackle,
yeah.
I may have to think about this a little bit during the course of the segment before mm-hmm. before I come back.
Now hold on. I did not anticipate that you would be perhaps calling on someone who has
seen
me in some rather
delicate
moments
untoward.
On the road.
Nothing untoward.
I did not realize that would be happening.
No,
Jeff? What about that story from this year? When I believe you said on the air that the Expos were going to take their best 25 players north.
Yeah, but okay, I said that on the air. Yeah, I made a mistake instead of Blue Jays. But that's not gonna make me laugh.
I thought that was pretty funny, and it was very endearing and genuine too.
I think we got to catch him off guard.
The Expos are still alive in your heart. We all know that.
Well, that is not a cackle.
I don't know about that.
All right. I'm trying, Ken. I'm trying real hard. I'm going to have to keep working on this, though, okay?
We'll get her there. It's something to think about. Something to think about as this interview goes on.
Very good.
There's so much stuff going on in baseball right now. The first thing I wanted to ask you, the Kansas City Royals, they are real, aren't they?
They are. And actually, they have more experience, and they've acquired more experience as the year has gone along. It was interesting. I checked with our friends at Stats LLC this morning because I was just curious to rank the rosters in terms of the highest age to the lowest average age in the majors. And the Royals come out fourth because they've actually added the likes of Raul Ibanez and Josh Willingham and even Jason Fraser in the last few weeks. So they haven't made a huge splash at the deadline, but they've made a few incremental moves that have gotten them a bit more experience. And I really give Dayton Moore a lot of credit because people earlier in the season, I might have been one of them, were wondering why he hadn't fired Ned Yost yet. This young group of players just didn't seem to be underachieving for a long period of time. But the starting rotation has really been stable for them, and they have an excellent bullpen, one of the best in baseball. They match up so well in the late innings, and finally their offense has come along. Billy Butler's had a good month of August. Alex Gordon has been probably one of the 10 best players in the American League this season. So it's just been a steady improvement while the Tigers have regressed just a little bit. And it hasn't been huge. The Tigers haven't been playing awful, but the Royals are now living up to their capabilities and really has been magnificent to watch. It's a very good, exciting young team that's going to be dangerous in the playoffs, guys, just because of how good that bullpen is and how well they catch the ball.
Dangerous in the playoffs. So I take it by your statement there that you think they're either going to win the Central or hang around in there?
I do. I think that at this point in time, you've got to like their chances of making the playoffs. By the way, their schedule is very weak in terms of down the stretch. They have a very favorable schedule. So I think that when you talk about the teams they'll have to play relative to what the Tigers have to play and also what the Mariners have to play, because really it's sort of if we acknowledge that perhaps the Jays are falling out of it and the Yankees as well, it looks like it's something of a three-team matrix, if you will, between the Royals, the Tigers, and the Mariners. One of them, obviously, we figure the Tigers and the Royals are going to win that AL Central, and the other team will fall into sort of a second wild-card race with the Mariners. It looks like that's the way it is right now. So the Mariners obviously pitch very well, too. So this is going to be a very exciting, I think, race for that second American League wild-card, even if the Jays fail to make that late surge that some of us thought they might be capable of doing here a couple weeks ago.
So I know there's people gnashing their teeth right now out in Blue Jays land because I think last time Kansas City made the playoffs was 85, and, you know, Toronto's had that epic drought since 93. How come the Royals have been able to do this and add and get over this little hump, but Toronto hasn't been able to do it?
Well, great question, Ken, and I think that's the one that the Jays are going to really have to ask themselves if they don't make the playoffs going forward is what went wrong here. And we know to be factually correct, is the Jays have been the worst team in baseball since the trade deadline, 4-12, worst record in the game. I realize it's a small sample size, but I think anybody that's watched the Jays play this month would tell you they don't have a lot of energy right now. Now, is the question, is that because there are a lot of players that have battled injuries as the course of the season's gone on, they've worn down, or mentally, did they hit a bit of a wall when they realized it was August 1st and there was nobody coming to help? And I think maybe it's a bit of both, but I believe that overall, big picture, guys, and I know that the Jays fans may not want to hear this right now, but look, Stroman, Sanchez, Daniel Norris, excellent. And probably a good thing that Alex Anthopoulos did not trade one of them for, let's say, Jeff Samardzija. I think that there's so much potential going forward with that group of players the Jays have. All that being said, was there the potential to make something of an Asdrubal Cabrera type of a trade, or even a Josh Willingham type of move? Just something to send the message to the clubhouse that they were out there trying to make some improvements. That, I think, would have gone a long way. And it's not that every team needs to make a big splash. That's not what I'm saying. But I think the Jays, for the way this season started, and I'm thinking of Jeff talking about everything with you in spring training, when they were trying to get Irvin Santana, couldn't get it done, the players wanted to make it happen, there's been that undercurrent of frustration that I think hasn't totally lifted, even as well as the Jays have played at times. And at some point in time, the question has to be asked, are they in the right position to make that next step and win a division, or is this merely a very good player developmental track that they're on right now?
John Pomerosi of Fox Sports joins us on Primetime Sports. It is Jeff Blair and Ken Reed. When you look at a team like the Royals, and it seems, 2.5 months ago, we were talking about the possibility of James Shields being traded because we all thought that the Royals were on the verge of backing up the truck, and everybody was, there were concerns about Dayton Moore. There's always been concerns about Dayton Moore's status as GM, but the Royals, is there something you can point to, John, that really kind of, was the focal point, was the thing that sparked this turnaround? Was there a certain player? Was there a certain pitching performance? What happened that sort of propelled Kansas City into the position they are? Because to me, it's a great story because they're chasing a team in the Detroit Tigers that is, they're literally moving heaven and earth to win a World Series for Mike Ilitch at some point in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think it's been an incremental thing, Jeff, and I think it starts on a certain level with the James Shields trade, for which they were roundly criticized, I might add, by many people in the industry who said that they were giving up their future by trading Will Myers for just 2 years of James Shields. But I think when you look back at that trade, you realize the message Dayton Moore was sending. Basically, I feel like we have a team that could win in the next 2 years because, of course, as we know, Shields is a free agent after the season. So I think that was the start. That trade sent a message. And last year they were able to make a bit of a run. They were certainly in the wild card race and even the division race a little bit late in the season in September before they faded a little bit. And this year it was all about, okay, now we really need to cash in because we know Shields is up after this season. They went out there and signed Jason Vargas as a free agent. Didn't get a whole lot of publicity, but he's a very solid pitcher that's done a very good job for them. So I think it was a combination of that one very aggressive move with Shields and then being patient. And there may have been moments there, guys, where the patience wasn't warranted. Certainly Mike Moustakas still really hasn't clicked 100%. Even Sal Perez hasn't had that great of a year. But they've been just patient enough. And again, maybe there's the silver lining for the Jays fans to say, you know what, if we just give this whole process a little bit longer time to work out, maybe there is that light at the end of the tunnel here. Because the Royals, there were numerous times they could have blown this thing up. Billy Butler was a profound disappointment for the first half of the season as their DH. But basically, Ned Yost kept saying, look, we just need to get some production out of that cleanup spot from our DH, Billy Butler, and it's finally happened. Now he's been playing some first base because Hosmer's been out, and certainly maybe that's helped his bat come alive, but he's been excellent this month. Gordon's been very good. And the two veterans I mentioned, Ibanez and Willingham, they've been very solid. They've given them production. They've given them leadership this month. So I think it was a combination of being patient for a very long period of time and certainly sticking with Butler when maybe the Billy Butler trade faction was growing among the Royals fans. Dayton Moore stayed the course. And again, I probably thought he should have blown the thing up before, but he didn't do it. So I think I give Dayton Moore a lot of credit, Ned Yost a lot of credit, and here they are now in a great situation with a good mix of old and young. They even called up Christian Colon, who's been one of their first-round picks a number of years ago. He's come in and done a very good job for them as well. So I think the Royals, it's been a lot of things have fallen into place, and just in time, too, guys, because this is really the last year for them to get something out of this James Shields trade. It looks like they have a very good chance to do it.
Hey, John, I'm interested a little bit in Rusny Castillo. I was going to say the next Cuban player, but a guy that a lot of major league teams are looking at. I mean, we've been told that the Blue Jays have scouted him. I think a lot of teams have probably scouted him, but that they have been at a couple of his workouts. I don't think they're one of the teams that has arranged for a private workout for him. How good is this player, and where do you think he ends up going?
Well, Jeff, he's good, and I don't know that he's great. I don't know that we can put him in the same sentence as Puig and Cespedes based on the assessments that I've heard from Peter Bjarkman, who knows the Cuban mm-hmm. players better than anybody in the U.S. at least. He kind of said, "Look, he can certainly contribute, but he's not like a breakaway star here." And I think the teams, and my colleague Ken Rosenthal reported last night, that are most solidly in the mix for him at this present time are the Tigers, the Red Sox, and the Giants. And I think ultimately, Jeff, the deal is going to be around $50 million based on what I've heard, maybe even more than that, over 5 or 6 years. This is going to be a substantial contract. Now, I think this probably fits into the discussion of maybe how this overall situation in the system of talent acquisition exists in baseball today. Mm-hmm. Whereas if he was a draft pick in the U.S., he would have his signing bonus limited by this cap. That does not occur for him because he's 27 years old and he played in Cuba.
Right.
So as a result, there's no draft pick attached to him. There's no cap. It is a completely unfettered market. And I think this speaks to maybe one of the issues that the Players Association and some of the agents, such as Scott Boras, have with the current system. It's that here's a guy that's never played a day in organized baseball in the U.S. He's able to come in and get a substantially higher contract than players that come up to the system are without having the draft pick attached to him. All that being said, I think he's a very powerful right-handed hitter. Looks like he can play some center field, maybe some left field. Body type-wise, when I saw him taking some batting practice in a video that was put out there, he reminded me of a young Ron Gant, that type of a mm-hmm. spark plug build with big-time bat speed. And, Jeff, I got to tell you, the funny part is he's represented by Roc Nation Sports, same agency, of course, as Robinson Cano, so that's Jay-Z's agency.
Wow.
And the video that's out there now on YouTube, the workout video for Rusny Castillo, naturally has a Jay-Z soundtrack.
There you go. It would be interesting, a team like the Red Sox with Cespedes there already. I mean, you would seem to have kind of a built-in cushion there, or at least a built-in comfort level if you were to go after a guy like Castillo. You know, you've got another one of his countrymen there in a market that can eat players up. It would certainly seem to be an interesting play for the Red Sox, especially given where they are right now and they're sort of in the development curve of the core of that team.
Exactly. And I do think, certainly, when you talk about Latin American players, and I do think in particular Cuban players, that there can be something of a comfort factor, just because obviously the language barrier is so substantial when it comes to Cuban players coming over here, because obviously there's a tremendous cultural disincentive to speak English when you're growing up in Cuba because of the nature of the government there. So I think that certainly can help. All that being said, very few people thought Chapman was going to go to Cincinnati, and very few people thought that Cespedes would go to Oakland. So all that, you know, neither area of the country is known for its Cuban population. So that part of it is certainly interesting. The one fascinating note here, Jeff, is that the Giants and the Tigers, if they were to get Castillo, there's a certain expectation and thought that they want to sign him before August 31st so he would be eligible for the postseason and probably play for them in the month of September, which really is hard to believe on a certain level, because he has not, to my knowledge, and again, we'll probably get more specifics about it after he signs, but because of the process of defecting and establishing residency in the third country, he hasn't really played a whole lot of baseball actual games. He's done showcases, but he hasn't played an actual game since, I believe, like the winter of 2012 to 2013.
Wow.
That's a long time. All of a sudden, here you go. Congratulations. You're going to play center field at AT&T Park in San Francisco or in Detroit, neither of which is an easy center field to play with 40,000 people in a very festive pennant race game. A little bit of a different situation than playing in front of 25 scouts at a showcase. So that's asking a lot of a young man who hasn't had a whole lot of competition recently. So stay tuned to that part of the story as well.
I wonder if Jay-Z has somebody working on the movie script already.
Very possible. Certainly, yeah. Puig's story could be worthy of a movie right now, and even Cespedes's as well. Mm-hmm. Who, by the way, I got to say, Ken, Cespedes has played well for the Red Sox, and you even wonder the Red Sox might be getting a better end of that deal than the A's, despite mm-hmm. obviously the A's plan for this year. Mm-hmm. But Oakland has not been quite the same club since they gave up their cleanup hitter in Cespedes. It's been very hard to replace that presence that he's had in that lineup on a daily basis.
Yeah, when that deal was made. You could almost see from the Red Sox point of view the dynamic at work and just how I just think Cespedes is in some ways is the perfect hitter for that ballpark and maybe more than that he's the perfect hitter for that lineup and okay. I mean I thought it was a hell of a deal. I'll tell you, I really believe this. I was talking to a couple of people today. I think the Red Sox, I mean, we saw them do a quick turnaround in the wrong direction this year. I think they're primed for a really fast turnaround next year.
Well, they did it a couple of years ago as well, right?
Yeah.
That's a great point, Ken. And that's something that I've, all year long, I've been wanting to say this to the Philadelphia Phillies front office. Mm. It's that
yeah.
there's no shame in doing this.
Yeah.
It was amazing to hear some of the comments coming out of the Phillies camp this year. We can't do this. We have a very demanding East Coast fan base. They wouldn't understand the notion of rebuilding with familiar people getting rid of them. Geez, it wasn't as if it hadn't happened for the Red Sox the year before, and they won the whole thing. I mean, they went from last place in 2012, having their quote-unquote fire sale trade with the Dodgers, getting rid of Gonzalez, Crawford, and Beckett, and then the next year they're the last team standing holding up the trophy. So, I mean, to me, there's a tremendous case to be made for when you're at that point, if you're not going to win, trade the guys. I mean, look at the Marlins. They're basically, and I know we talked about this in spring training when I had said that the Marlins were in better shape than the Jays. You know, you could debate that right now, but look at their records. They're basically the same. And I know it's a different division,
mm-hmm.
but again, the Marlins' record is basically the same as the Blue Jays' record today. So that tells you that this whole notion of when you strip down the roster, if the guys aren't quite performing, usually that flexibility and then that youth can end up having a very positive impact on your team in a very, very short period of time.
Mr. Morosi, good stuff as always, sir.
My pleasure. And Jeff, I hope I got you to laugh there with some of those comments about something or other. I mean, I hope I got a smile out of you.
This idea that I'm
the rest of the hour to get it out of me.
This idea that I'm not smiling. I'm quite happy today.
I guess it was laughing, right? That was
I smiled at 2:28.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen, Jeff? Like the old thing, we're gonna end the call here, and 5 minutes from now, I'm going to think of something that would have had you on the ground laughing, and that's just the way it works in radio, doesn't it?
It is indeed, John.
Email it to him. I'll split the 50 bucks with you.
We'll do. I'll tweet it at both of you guys. Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thanks,
take care.
JP.
Thanks, John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports.
See, now that the pressure's on, we can't make you laugh.
No, it's just not going to happen.
No.
But what's happening? 7-5 for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, Dickey gave up a 2-run shot, and then they pulled him out after 5 2/3.
He was tugging on his beard when he came out. I know.
Well, that's how you think if you have a beard.
Okay.
Or express frustration.
I'm sure he's probably trying to come up with some multi-syllable word to drop in the reporters.
Yeah.
I'm still, you know, he is the man who told us that the knuckleball is a capricious animal.
JP raised a great point. You know, if the Jays lose today, both the Jays and Miami would be a game above 500. Riddle me that.
Well, the Marlins, people always, I made this point at the time that the deal was made, and, you know, people, of course, are crucifying the Marlins and their ownership because, mm-hmm. you know, wow, they just got a new ballpark built, and, you know, they're stripping it down. Well, folks, the Marlins won a World Series. You know what? I understand the people in Montreal and around the country probably don't like Jeffrey Lurie and David Sampson because of what went on with the Expos, even though I think most people now understand that about 90% of that issue had to do with the market of Montreal and the business community of Montreal more than it did Sampson and Lurie. All that aside, you know what? The Marlins know what they're doing. The Marlins do a great job of analyzing talent within their organization and analyzing talent outside other organizations. And yeah, they are at times their management and their structure can be a train wreck, but tell you what, you know at some point in a five-year run that the Marlins are going to make the playoffs.
That's what history's shown us.
And, you know, as John said, which is tremendous, a lesson for the Philadelphia Phillies as well, you know, don't be afraid to strip the team down every now and then. Give your fan base some credit. Anyhow, speaking of fan base and giving them credit, the Ottawa Senators fan base is probably wondering just what the hell is going on with their team right now. Eugene Melnyk, their owner, was quoted as saying yesterday, "We have the potential to be in the playoffs and be competitive throughout the whole year." He appears to be the only person around the National Hockey League who feels that way. Don Brennan of the Ottawa Sun will join us. We'll get his take on Eugene Melnyk's statement, and we'll ask Don, who is the Ottawa Senators captain? This is Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sportsnet 590. 590. The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Primetime Sports. We got a video replay challenge in the Jays-Brewers game.
Don't challenge it. That's my tip.
That's a tough one.
Saved.
Hard to tell. We got a reading from inside from our master control room says he's safe. I'm looking at it. Ball and glove. Yeah, he's...
Safe.
I don't know. People in the radio are going, what the hell are you guys talking
exactly
about? It's the Jays Brewers game, instant replay, video replay, 7-5 Jays in the seventh inning with two outs. Aaron Sanchez, by the way, has just made an unbelievable defensive play. There you go, 7-5 Jays. They're trying to bring it home. They're trying to bring it home at the end of the road trip. 1-6. It's like the nuts and bolts are rolling down the road. The
you almost
tires.
Cackled there.
No, I'm not going to cackle. Don Brennan of the Ottawa Sun joins us. Primetime Sports. Don Brennan's been known to make me laugh every now and then. Are you covering a golf tournament? Is this true?
The Ottawa Sun Scramble, Jeff.
There you go.
Two-man scramble city championships up here in the Gatineaus in Quebec.
Donnie, I know you're an awesome beer league hockey player. How are you on the golf course, buddy?
Hey, we made the cut, my partner and I, Tim Baines. We made the cut yesterday after taking a triple on number 8. So
we're
playing in the championship round on Saturday.
Two-man triple bogey.
Is that good? I don't understand.
No, it's not good.
It's not
good?
Terrible, okay. No.
So, Don, what the hell's going on with your hockey team?
Other than the fact everybody's leaving?
Yeah, and the owner thinks that they look good. He's planning a parade, apparently.
Oh, hey. Optimism abounds these days. No, if you look at the separate cases, if you go back as far as Danny Heatley and Daniel Alfredson and now Jason Spezza, I mean, it's obviously different circumstances. It's completely, I don't think they're relevant. You talk to the guys that do play here that are bigger name players. They really like Ottawa. I don't think it's anything for the people to get too concerned about. I mean, you might want to be a little bit concerned about what Melnyk's thinking if he's guaranteeing playoff spots, but I think they're going to be in tough this year. It's going to be a tough conference and they're going to, be struggling to score some goals. If they improve their defensive game, which was putrid last year, I mean, they have a chance, but I think it's going to go right down to the final weeks.
Donnie, everybody wants to go, called the Sens the pesky Sens based on a couple of years ago, but how much of the pesky Sens was the good goaltending Sens?
I think that was a part of it, yeah. But I think they were just playing a better defensive game, Jeff, and they were, they knew they couldn't rely on a Jason Spezza. He wasn't there, and Erik Karlsson was injured. And, I mean, they had to play the system. They had to play a trap version. They had to really play what McLean was preaching. And I think that they sort of jumped on that pesky label, and I think that they gained some momentum from it. But you might wonder why cars are going by me on the golf course, if you can hear them.
You're way out of bounds.
Yeah, I was going to say,
way out of bounds. But, I think...
Teeing it up on the blacktop. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I think that they're going to have to sort of adopt that sort of mentality again this year. They're just not... They just don't have the guns, I guess, to compete with the big team. So they're really going to have to play that style.
Now, Clark MacArthur signs a 5-year contract worth an average of $4.65 million. Is he a candidate to be captain of this team?
Oh, I think he is. I mean, it's funny how he's really entrenched himself in that dressing room. He's a very popular player. among his teammates, and I think he's become a popular player in the community. Something about the little guy, he drops his gloves for his teammates. He did a couple of times last year, and he came up. He really clicked well with Kyle Turris. He was their best left winger for the most part, and there's something about his personality I think people have fallen in love with, sort of. But, I mean, he's definitely a candidate to become a letter wearer, for sure.
Who replaces Jason Spezza offensively, those 23 goals and 66 points?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody does. I think that they've got to come to grips with that, and they're just going to have to rely on certain guys to have better seasons. They have to have a big season from a Milan McCulloch who struggled mightily last year. They need guys, they have a lot of promising young players like Mark Stone and Curtis Lazar, Matt Pumple, guys in the system that project to be good offensive players. Who's on the team when the season starts? Well, remains to be seen. But those guys are going to, have to graduate. They're going to have to progress a little quicker than maybe they were expected to.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Lazar. They took him 17th overall in 2013 of Edmonton Oil Kings. Realistically, can you expect him to play or even contribute at the NHL level this year?
You talk to everybody with the team, and I think they're trying to be cautious, but they're very excited about this kid. Mm-hmm. I don't see any way he doesn't make the team this season. How much he'll contribute, I don't know. You've seen some rookies in the last few years, guys like Nathan MacKinnon step up and really do a good job. I don't know if it's fair to compare him to the first overall pick. I don't know. He's kind of a guy that has so much potential and does so many things right. I think that he's going to be a player on the team, and I think he could become an important player as the season goes on.
Would Ottawa have enough confidence to kind of let him go and let him do his offensive thing, or will he be reined into that NHL-type game, that pro-type game that it seems every team wants their young prospects to play?
From everybody I've talked to and from what I've seen, he already plays that type of game. He's mm-hmm. very diligent defensively. He's really conscious of playing the right way in his own end and all zones. I mean, it just sounds like this guy is ready for like Brian Murray uses the term all the time, NHL ready, and it really does sound like he is.
Don, it was good of you to do this today. Thanks so much.
Hey, anytime.
Take care. That is Don Brandon of the Ottawa Sun. A fine traveling companion.
And a fine, fine beer league hockey player. Donnie's got a sweet set of hands. We used to have a good Ottawa media skate. And Donnie's got the hands on him.
Yeah, he's a fun reporter. I always enjoyed reading his stuff. When I was at the Globe and Mail's Montreal Bureau, and part of my responsibility was covering the Ottawa Senators. It was great fun hanging around with Brennan. And Brennan came up with some great stories and was a very diligent reporter. So there you go, Clark MacArthur. Think about that. The guy, Randy Carlyle, basically ran out of town.
A captain,
possibly.
A guy that is
of the Ottawa Senators.
The guy, as a good friend Mark Askin pointed out. He came to Toronto in late September from an Atlanta team that kind of nobody wanted him, and he came here and contributed, and what? He gets a contract worth, what, about $24 million over 5 years?
I would say Clark MacArthur's done pretty well for himself.
I think he has.
I would say he's done pretty well for himself.
23.25, 5 years. But you know what? He fit in really well here in Toronto, too. He established himself as a guy that's very accountable, and I got from what Don was saying there, also a very accountable guy, the guy that, like Don said, could wear a letter, and he's a stand-up guy. He'll always meet with the media, and, whether win or lose, you'll hear from him.
My limited dealings with him in the Leafs dressing room, there's a knack to being a stand-up guy. But being a stand-up guy is great, but you got to be careful how you do it, because if you're not careful, you almost become a publicity whore
a
little bit.
I was going to say he was anything but wanting the spotlight.
Exactly. Yep. Clark MacArthur was anything but that. I think he'd make a fine captain.
I would agree with
for
that.
For the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, didn't make you laugh.
Didn't make me laugh. Well, Elliot Friedman's coming in. Maybe he's got something that can make me laugh.
Well, you're both wearing pink shirts today, and I love the pink shirts, so I kind of feel left out.
Go see Ivanka.
All right, hanging out with Ozmak tonight on Connected.
Take care. We'll do this again tomorrow.
Love to.
Ken Reed, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Elliot Friedman joins me. Primetime Sports rolls on. And the Sportsnet, not the Fan, radio and television network.